gonna grow up on a toys racket. They got a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with. I don't wanna grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. They got the best for so much less, you really flip your lid.
From bikes to trains to video games, it's the biggest toy store there is.
Gee whiz!
I don't wanna grow up, cause baby, if I did, I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid.
More games, more toys,
oh boy!
I wanna be a Toys R Us kid.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us here on the 2018 version of Throwback Reviews podcast. We put out an episode right at the end of 2017, and Rob and I had we really didn't have a New Year's resolution, but we said we'd like to do this a little more often this year, a little more often than we have in the past, maybe, what is it, 2 or 3 years, Rob, where we do maybe 2 or 3 episodes a year. So hopefully this is going to get us on track. We missed January, but hey, it's early February. And here we are. So how you doing, Rob?
I'm doing good, man. I want to get back on schedule. I miss doing these. I miss talking about old stuff. My family, they don't care about old stuff. It's just us old guys when we get together.
That's very true. And so we're not doing a movie tonight, but we thought we'd keep it a little more relaxed. We had a good time on our last episode where we just kind of talked about the old days and some stuff that our kids won't really be able to experience. And I think we'll talk a little bit about some of that stuff again tonight. And we have a special guest, a guy that's been on the show, I think, 2 or 3 times in the past. And you guys all know him as Ferg from the 2600 Game by Game podcast. What's going on, Ferg?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Woo! That didn't sound like a gallery. I wanted that to sound like like that. You know, a lot of people, but
maybe I'll do something in post for that one.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Yay! Save me.
Yeah.
Okay, you can't cheer for yourself.
No, we're glad to have you. We've been talking about getting you back on, and you know, part of us, I think, maybe getting into a more, Rob said schedule. I don't like the word schedule, but just more often.
Yeah.
You know, there's too much pressure when you say schedule, right? But one of them was to get some people on here that we've talked to in the past and that we've had fun with, and, you know, some of our podcasting friends. So it's good to have you back on here. You know, like I said, we weren't doing anything structured tonight. We just maybe had a couple topics we wanted to kind of talk about. And the one thing that I wanted to bring up, because it's, you know, it's kind of big in the news now, but, back in September of 2017, one of the biggest, I'd say the biggest toy store had, announced that they were going to be filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And that is Toys R Us.
Yeah.
So, but hopefully
Bummer.
Hopefully because it's Chapter 11, it means that it's not going to go bye-bye for forever. It's going to maybe do some restructuring. But I think with that, I think they announced, what, like 108 or 180 store closings in the U.S.?
Yeah, I think it's 180. I don't know if they're going to come back from this bankruptcy. I feel like it might be too late for them. I mean, like, I think of Blockbuster and those places like that thought they were going to weather, you know, first it was Redbox and then Netflix. They were like, oh, it's a fad. You know, we're going to give those people a couple of weeks. I remember I had the same thought when the internet first came out and I was running a BBS, you know, and I was like, oh, it's a fad. These online people with their stinking internet, they'll come back. But they did not.
No.
They did not come back. So, man, I don't know. I think Toys R Us, I mean, for guys our age, is a staple probably in all of our childhoods. And it's just sad to see a company that couldn't adapt to the times.
Do you think it has to do with things like Walmart and, you know, stores like Walmart and Target, Amazon? I mean, Amazon is this huge entity now where you can basically just stay in your house and order anything. And if you're doing Prime, you're going to get it in 2 days, sometimes less.
I was just going to say that I think it was like 10 years ago when they first announced that Walmart sold more toys than Toys R Us did. And I think it's been going down the toilet since then. But yeah, even with Amazon now and all the other places. And even when I was a kid, I think we shopped for toys more at Sears than at Toys R Us.
You know, I remember using Toys R Us almost as an interactive toy catalog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you would go to Toys R Us and look at stuff. And as a kid, I don't think I realized that they were so much more expensive than Walmart, or, you know, there were so many places that were closer to us too. So, you know, you would go there that beginning of December trip, and you'd be making those mental lists of, you know, what you're going to put on your Christmas list and all the stuff you would see there. But I don't think my parents necessarily went back to Toys R Us to get those things. You know, there was service merchandise and Walmart and all those places that were closer and cheaper.
Yeah, we didn't have Walmart here till later on. I want to say early 90s, maybe, is when Walmart came. So it wasn't that, but we had places, and I talked about it on our last episode with Christmas toys, was Hills. You know, we went there. That was one of their slogans at Christmas time, you know, Hills is where the toys are. But not only that, but we had a competitor, and Ferg, you may have had it. I think they were more of a Northeast, and that's Child World.
Yeah.
Why struggle through traffic, waste valuable gas and money, only to find the toy or game you want is out of stock? Now is the time to shop Child World. Our shelves are loaded with the games, toys, bikes, dolls, and electronic games your kids want. And we'll save you money. Child World,
Yeah, Child World was a competitor for, I think it was like their second competitor to Toys R Us, but they weren't as big. I did some research, and Toys R Us had like 800 stores just in the U.S. and over 800 globally, which I had no idea that they were in some of the countries like Africa and, you know, all these different places, where I think Child World was, I don't even remember, I think it was under 200 nationwide. So
yeah.
But we went there a lot more as a kid. But Rob, like you said, I know Toys R Us, that was kind of the interactive place where you could kind of get hands on, you know, playing with some toys or seeing maybe some of the toys that they didn't maybe have at Child World or at some of the department stores. But maybe, I know JCPenney's, my mom would order stuff from a catalog, or the brand names catalog, which was like a service merchandise.
Well, I remember for sure that Toys R Us, of all the places around us, even like the places at the mall or whatever, Toys R Us had the biggest game section. They had a big Atari section, and they had a huge Commodore 64 section. So I definitely remember going and, you know, like we're talking about window shopping, like, you know, you would look at all the Commodore games, and then in your head, you're making a list of all the games you're going to download when you get home. You know, you could look at the graphics and stuff. Ferg, did you have, I assume you had Toys R Us near you. Did you like ever get Atari games from there?
I didn't personally. I mean, I think my parents bought the Atari originally at Toys R Us, but there was a place, whenever my mom went shopping once a week at Pathmark, there was a toy store called Tiny Tots. There was two stores, chain. And I used to just hang out over there, and I got a lot of games there. And there was a place called Consumers next door, which is basically like a service merchandise, like showroom type of store. And I bought a lot of my games there.
I have two Atari stories of getting games very early on, and they were both, I remember specifically, from that the you know, we had the Toys R Us when I was a kid. Later on, there were more, but there was this one, and unfortunately, this one is on the list of stores that are going to be closed. But I remember my dad was so excited, and it was such a big deal when Space Invaders was coming out for the Atari 2600 that he let me skip school. we went to Toys R Us and got Space Invaders. And when we came home and plugged it in, it was bowling.
That's right.
And I have never, I have never to this day figured out how that could have happened. I mean, in my head, it's like an assembly line where they're just like, doot, 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 you know. Yep. So how one, you know, unless somebody like, I mean, unless somebody changed the label, but I mean, it was like the first day. So I've never figured that out. But yeah, I remember going and then going back to Toys R Us and swapping it out, you know. But yeah, there's just so many things. So Sean, like, what's your early memories of Toys R Us?
You know what? It's funny. I can't remember. I was trying to figure out when it even opened here, because Child World was probably the place we went to more often than not, than Toys R Us. I don't think I went to Toys R Us till I was probably maybe 10, 11, maybe something like that. I tried to search so hard today to find out when the store here, which is just down the road from me, it's not far at all, when that store opened. And which was such a short time to research, I couldn't find when that exactly came, because I was like, I don't even remember when it did come. I mean, I did go there as a kid, but I don't remember going there as a real little kid. Like I said, it was mostly Child World. But I will say now, going there as an adult, yes, I've learned those things. Like, man, I could get this thing a lot cheaper if I ordered it on Amazon. I can get a lot cheaper if I go, you know, if we go to wherever. And but for my kids, I have three kids, and that's kind of what we do on their birthday. We take them out to Toys R Us. They have a limit, and they just get whatever they can get for that at that limit. And sometimes I feel bad, because I think, man, kid, you're getting a lot, you know, for that limit, because it is pretty expensive there.
Yeah.
But I did see, I thought too, when I read that list, I thought this store was closing, but I was actually wrong. The local news had said it. We have a Babies R Us, which I think those opened up in the early 90s. That's closing. Mm. So I think the Toys R Us here is safe.
Did you register for any of your kids at Babies R Us?
I think we did a few things there. Yeah.
That was the most fun. I felt so guilty about registering, because I'm like, you know, I have a job. I feel bad. Like, why people want to, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if someone like on the, if you put the shoe on the other foot, somebody's like, I'm having a baby, why don't you buy me some diapers? I'd be like, why should I do that? So I felt bad about it the other way, but we went and registered, and it's one of those places where they give you the scanner.
Oh yeah.
And so you just walk around the store and you scan. And I was like, I was just scanning crazy stuff. And Susan was like, no, like you can't, but at the time ours was, half Babies R Us and half Toys R Us. And I was like, I think baby needs some Legos. Like, I was over there, you know, and Susan's like, no. Like, she was taking stuff off as fast as I could scan.
I didn't know they did the combination stores. I thought they were always separate brick and mortars.
No. Ours was, you know, we had a big Toys R Us. And then, so it was originally a Toys R Us, and then they split it. So the Babies R Us stuff was like on the right-hand side. When you went in, and then now we have separate ones, but the first one was split like that.
Now, Ferg, do you have a store nearby where you're at now? Or?
We do. Yeah. We have two in Delaware, and they're both safe, because I think it was like a 50 mile, some kind of 50 mile radius or something. I read that if there were stores within 50 miles, they would close. So
I think so.
Now, you don't have children of your own, but do you have to go there, you know, for nieces and nephews?
Just
and
like you said, whenever their birthday comes up, we usually either go there or more. The past couple of years, though, we've been looking online, because we get more, like, they're older now, so we get more like science-based toys.
Okay.
Because they like that kind of, you know, like maker stuff. They like to put stuff together. And at my my youngest nephew has a list on Amazon, so we just go on there and get stuff. Oh, okay. But I would be remiss in not mentioning the video game wall at Toys R Us. You go in, they don't have it anymore, but you would used to go in, and they would have these little plastic, whatever they were, but they had the box art in the plastic, and then they had a little piece of paper with the price underneath. So you would take out that piece of paper and you'd pay for it, and then you go to the customer pickup.
And to the cage.
Yes, the customer pickup was the most beautiful thing when you were a kid. Look at all those video games back there and high ticket items and stuff. Yeah, I loved that part of it. I didn't buy too many games that way, mostly in the NES era. There was one thing Rob reminded me of. I did buy one Atari 2600 game. It was Activision Boxing. It was 1997. I guess.
And it had Space Invaders in it.
No. It just had this Activision Boxing game lying there on the bottom shelf. I was like, what is this doing here? And I couldn't leave it there.
Wow.
Yeah, so they must have cleaned
it. Probably fell like behind a shelf in the cage, you know, and then somebody one day was like.
Threw out all the stuff, whatever they had back there. And when I first started dating Sarah, my wife, she collected Pez, and the Toys R Us in our area, for some reason, they were cleaning out their back room. They had all this dusty Smurf Pez from the early 80s. This was in the early 90s when I was buying it. So we got a lot of cool Pez that way.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, another store, I believe you and Sarah both worked at KB, right?
KB, yes. How could I forget that?
I mean, that was the place you'd stop at the mall. Like, that's why it was either Spencer's and try to sneak into the adult section.
Yes.
You know, or go to KB Toy Store.
Yeah, every mall pretty much had a KB. And they were, a lot of their stuff was like low-end discount stuff. So they had this, oh my gosh, I can't never remember the name of it. But they always had, there was always the Labyrinth game. The wooden Labyrinth game you could buy there.
The marble.
The checker and chess sets. This Sky Aces thing that it was just repackaged over and over again when I worked there. But they had a lot of discount stores too. Like I think they bought out a K&K, it was called. I don't remember. But yeah, it was more low end merchandise. But they did have a lot of the same stuff, like board games and video games and stuff.
I think I remember getting, I want to say we got some Atari games there, but most of the, I think the Atari games that we got were from, I think Sears.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
We got some from Sears.
The, there's a story in Commodore that a lot of people love, and it took place at Toys R Us. And so if you remember, like where they had all the video games and stuff set up, and then at the end of the aisle, they would have a little kiosk, you know, where it was, they would have something playing, you know, and so it's the story was that, at the end of one of these, they had a Commodore 64 set up, and it was covered. It was like a whole system, but it was in plexiglass, like it was a plexiglass box. And then they had cut a hole in the top of the plexiglass so you could type on the keyboard, but you couldn't like reach where the power was or anything. And inside this plexiglass box was a printer and other stuff. And so I typed the one basic program that everybody knows, which was 10, you know, Jack Flack rules or whatever, and then 20 go to 10. But there's a command on the Commodore where you can reroute what that's going on the screen to the printer. So you could just type, and when you run, it would go to the printer. And somebody had already done that. So I typed Jack Flack rules and then hit, you know, go to 10 so it would repeat forever and hit enter. And I was like, why is nothing coming up on the screen? And then I just hear, and the printer starts going, and I'm like, I mean, my first thought is how cool is this, you know? I'm like, this is great, because I'm probably, I don't know, 12, like I'm a kid. And then I'm like, okay, well, you know, on the Commodore you could hit run, stop, restore, which was like break, you know, but those keys were covered.
Oh, no.
I couldn't stop it. I couldn't get to the power. I couldn't do anything. And I'm like, oh no, like it dawns on me, you know, and it's printing, you know, and I'm like, oh, and so I just walked away. I was like, I didn't know what to do. Right. And so I went and found my dad and they were like walking the other direction. So I'm like, let's keep walking. And we just walked through the store. And when we came back by there, that whole freaking box was filled with paper. Like, I mean, it was just like coming out over and I'm like jammed in there, you know? And I remember like this guy, like, you know, to me, he was adult. He was probably like 18 yeah. or something, but like he was like, find the keys, find the keys. And my dad's looking at this thing, you know, and I was like, I wonder who did that. And it says Jack Flack rules, and he knew that I went by Jack Flack on the BB, so there was no denying it, you know. He never said anything to me. I'm sure he thought it was funny, but oh yeah, old toy. I mean, you couldn't even see the computer. It was just paper. Everywhere, stuffing full of
I love that story. But,
do you guys remember the old photo mats that used to be in the parking lots?
Yes.
You guys have those?
We had one, yeah. I think we went there, too. I'm pretty sure we did. It was downtown. It was in, there was another bakery in town. It was in front of that. And I think later on, it turned into like a coffee place for very briefly. And then they ripped it out. But how dangerous were those things have been in the middle of a parking lot in a little tiny room, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
We have one right near us, and they've turned it into – I'm from Oklahoma, so I'm going to say gyro. I know it's a gyro, but they've turned it into like a gyro stand. I mean, it's like the – like I can't imagine there's enough room to turn around.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
I mean, it is so tiny, and – I mean, it has to be 900 degrees.
Yeah.
Like, I just imagine, like, there's just a thing where he gets the bread and there's the little spindle of meat or whatever. And, but it's so strange because it looks like the old, you know, photo booth thing still. But
I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And all they did was paint it. Yeah.
There aren't any here that I know of, or at least where I'm at left. There were. I mean, I can see it clear as day, and I remember writing an article for The Retroist about them because, I don't know, I just stumbled upon it, that memory, and I was like, man, you'd think about the things and how they've changed, and going back again, you know, to the last episode, talking about these things, like, our kids, they have no idea. I actually worked at a photo lab. I didn't work at at that one, but it was another local photo developing. They had a couple stores or something, and I would do 35 millimeter film, print it, maybe some reprints. I didn't do any enlargements or anything like that. We had a separate store for that, but I was telling my kids the other week about how the machine worked, and you know, you couldn't expose it to light, and to them it's like, no, you just take your camera out right and you press the camera app. So it's just strange how far it's advanced, that I mean, this little thing that we keep in our pocket can take such amazing photos.
Do you guys print photos anymore?
Very rarely. And if we do, I think my wife did some for Christmas and framed some stuff for my family, and I think she used one of those, you know, online services where you just send it and they print them out for you. Like, we haven't printed our own in years.
Yeah Same with us. My father-in-law uses Snapfish. He makes little books. They're really cool.
I think that's what I think that's the service that she used.
I saw a commercial for I believe it's called Fracture, and they will print your photographs on a sheet of glass.
What?
So they print it directly on the glass, and it comes with a frame. And so my wife will never listen to this episode, so this is what I've got her for Valentine's Day, is I sent them, you upload a picture, and they print it on glass.
Is it printed, or is it etched on the glass?
No, it's printed. Yeah, it's this weird thing where, and it comes with a little glass thing that hangs on the wall. But here's the thing: I'm so cheap, right? That I was like, I could do that. And I was like, I mean, I can't print on glass, but I'm like, I could just print on a piece of paper and like stick it on some glass, like
with some rubber cement.
Right. I was thinking about it, and then I was like, I don't think it's going to look right. So I went ahead and did it. But, you know, the last time we had any pictures printed was at Walgreens.
Okay.
Either Walgreens or CVS. Maybe CVS, but they're the same to me. But you know which one I like? Whichever one's on the right-hand side, because it's easier to turn into. Yeah. I don't care which one it is.
Yeah, we use Walgreens as well. And I'll tell you that the photos that they come back for Christmas presents, I mean, because I worked at the photo lab, and I used to go into the photo room at high school. Like, that's what I wanted to do. I'm looking at them going, yeah, they're just, those aren't right.
Oh,
exposure.
Really?
Right. Yeah, it's not right.
Yeah.
So it is Walgreens, because I have the app on my phone, and so you can send your pictures to Walgreens through the app on your phone.
Jeez.
And then when you go there, they'll have them printed out. And I mean, we're so used to now digital pictures, right?
Yeah.
But even this is like, if you want it printed out, like, you can't get to the store before they're ready.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it prints them out instantly. It's just, yeah, there's no, I mean, if, when I think about, I mean, the photos and all this stuff, and even back to Toys R Us, what they all have in common is waiting, you know.
Yes.
like you would go to Toys R Us and you might see, like, you know, they'd say, oh, that, you know, all the new Star Wars figures are out, and you'd be like, oh, here's, you know, 10 new figures. You're not getting 10 new figures.
Right.
You might get one if you were lucky, you know, if you didn't destroy the display computer. but you know, it was all about, like, you would see it, and then that's what you would get later. That's what you would get, you know, for your birthday a few months from now.
Or something. Nobody wants to wait anymore.
Yeah. I will, I want to tax you guys' memories.
Okay.
Were either of you guys, did you guys watch That's Incredible?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an episode about a haunted toy store. And it was shot in a Toys R Us. And they said that at night, now to kids today, the idea of toys coming to life is Toy Story.
Right.
It's very fun. They're like, oh, great. Mr. Potato Head, you know, is coming to life. They shot this in a way, they like turned the lights out in the store. And I remember there was a shot where they were showing the, you remember those tall, the Shogun Warriors and the Godzilla things?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know, like 2 foot tall. It was like those coming off the shelf.
What?
And I was like, jeez. I mean, it scared me to death. And I remember going, because it was obviously a Toys R Us. And I remember going there, and like, you would walk on the other side of the aisle. So I was like, that thing might come after, you know? So I don't know. I don't, that's one of the few times I can think of it, like, actually being scared of the Toy Story. But I do have a question for both you guys, and I'll let y'all go first. What was your rule, or more importantly, what was your parents' rule when it came to touching things in the toy store?
Oh, boy.
Or did they even say anything to you?
That's a good question. I'm sure my parents didn't want me touching anything I wasn't supposed to be touching. I guess if, I mean, I remember kind of looking at Hot Wheels cars, and you obviously have to take those off the peg and look at them. So I don't think they had any problem with that. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Sean, what about you?
Was I allowed to handle stuff in the store?
Yeah.
I had to step away for a second. So.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? As long as I wasn't ruining anything or being super obnoxious, my mother, she was like, yeah. But I think we kind of just were able to do our own thing. But we weren't, my brother and I weren't crazy, except for the one time when I was sitting in the cart and my brother found a dolly. And he thought it'd be fun to wedge the dolly underneath the wheels.
Oh.
And pull back, and the cart crashed.
Really?
That's funny.
Yeah. So my parents, my mom had a specific rule. she would always say, look with your eyes, look with your eyes, not your hands. And so to this day, she must have said it so much that she would say, hands in your pockets. So like when we were going, like if you were looking at the Star Wars people or whatever, I mean, I'm sure if there was like a deep row of things you could, you know, like card things, you could move one to the side to see what was behind it. But we had to put our hands in our pockets and then just like look at stuff, you know? And I remember like seeing kids, like I remember going, this was at a Walmart actually one time, but I went in and there was like a full 3-on-3 football game going on the 20 mile. Like these kids are throwing a football and running back and down, you know, like running or whatever. Or kids like that would pick up the guns, the toy guns, and run around. And my mom would just shoot me this look like, don't even think about it.
Yeah.
we were like the little ones that just weren't allowed to touch anything.
Yeah, we definitely were not allowed to have football games in the toy store. I'm sure that there were times when I would grab something or bring it, you know, run it over to my parents, like, can you get me this? And they're like, no, put it back where you found it, not just leave it somewhere.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's I say that to my kids as well. But it's always with candy, man. My kids just always want to buy candy or gum somewhere. Dad, I got 50 cents at home. No, just put it back. Enough. But I was just at another place that you see closing down. Not entirely, but they're standalones, and that's Pizza Hut. Like, the Pizza Huts around here are now turning into, you know, like Mandarin restaurants and all that really? Kind of stuff. And they're going into, like, the mini strip malls. So they'll open up, like, these Pizza Hut Express. And a lot of the, like I said, the standalones, there's a couple that are still around, but there's two that I know that have closed. And the other week is my son's birthday, so he had a couple buddies sleep over, so he wanted Pizza Hut. So I went to go pick up Pizza Hut, and I'm sitting there waiting. They're completely understaffed for a Friday night, and so I got to wait forever. But like, there's this couple with their little kids, and the father's on his phone. The mother's just standing there, and the kids are running around the freaking restaurant, like running around. Like, they're standing there waiting to pay. The kids are running into the restaurant, running around. Mm-hmm. Then there's like a stack of what was clean plates. The kids are like playing and like running their fingers up and down. And I'm just sitting there going, why are you not saying it? Like, what the heck? Like, you're in your phone. Like, you're so out of touch that your kids are being so obnoxious. And, like, there's one waitress who is taking care of not only the people that, like myself, that ordered and were picking up, but that were taking care of the restaurant. And you could tell she wanted to just, like, flip out. But I was just like...
Yeah.
There's that weird line. Like, do you say something? When Mason was younger... you remember when like parkour became this big thing, like everybody, your kids wanted to like jump over stuff or whatever. And, Mason had this kid come over and spend the night, and we took him and we went out for pizza. And when we were coming through the parking lot, there was like the little concrete barrier, and Mason like jumped on the concrete thing and goes parkour like that, you know? And then this kid goes over and does the same thing off of another car's bumper in the parking lot. Like, he runs over and jumps up on the car and jumps off and goes parkour. And I was like, like, you know, cause I'm thinking like some dude's going to come out and try to kick my butt. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know that kid. Exactly. I'm like, you're on your own, you know, but it's weird what different kids, I don't know what they have boundaries. You know, we've had kids spend the night before. Like, my mom, I think I'm just making my mom sound mean on this podcast. She wasn't mean, but she would put that fear of God into you before. Like, if you went to go spend the night somewhere, she would be like, you know, you're on your best behavior. If you act bad, how's that going to make me look?
Right.
You know, like, it's going to make me look like a bad parent.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, okay, you know. And the kids that have come over to spend the night with my kids, they have not got that talk. Yeah, right. Nobody's told them that, you know.
We've given our kids that talk a lot because I don't want to be – it is. It's a representation of you as a parent, I think.
It is, yeah.
Right? And so we've always – told the kids, like, you got to act a certain way, whatever. I don't want you to be that kid on the block. I don't want to be that family on the block, you know? Mm. So, but we've also had those kids here. But when I was a kid, I don't think, I know my mother never gave us that talk, and my father was, you know, he was just wasn't around a lot. He worked two jobs, but he didn't even have to say anything, and he would put the fear in you. You know what I mean?
Yes. But,
yeah. But my mother will, she will say to this day, like, you know, you and your brother were crazy, and my brother and I fought all the time. But she would say, whenever you'd go somewhere, I always heard good things, like you guys behave. Mm-hmm. And even when I was like a young teenager, I would go to my one buddy's house that I would skateboard with, and his father would call me Eddie Haskell. And at the time, I didn't know who the heck, I didn't know who Eddie Haskell was, right?
Right.
But
right.
Then after seeing the show in summer syndication one year, I was like, oh, yeah, he pegged me okay. You know, 'cause he was totally on to me, totally on to me. So, but let's transition. Ferg, you had, you know, we talked, you had some things about music that have changed since when we were a lot younger.
Yeah, I was thinking about 8-tracks because that was the first Beatles album that we had. I'm a big Beatles fan. Was on 8-track. And the only place we could listen to it when we got it was in the car because my dad had a Cadillac and he had the 8-track tape player put in. So it was just kind of like bouncing around underneath the dashboard with a little piece of cardboard in there. I think a lot of people had that. But it was just so... The whole 8-track format was so much different because it was, you had to, it was a continuous loop of tape. So each track, each section had to be the same time or else you'd have a lot of blank space on the tape and nobody wanted that. So they took the albums, they put the songs in different order. They would split a song in two over the two programs. So you, it would fade out in the middle of the song and then fade back up. And it was just so much different than records. And then later on, speaking of Toys R Us, I got a 2XL so I could listen to 8-tracks in the house. And then they just kind of, I think they were really big in the 70s, early 70s, mid 70s, and kind of started petering out in the late 70s. And I think 82 maybe was the last time they were really widespread. But I think the... if I remember, I read a little bit about it today. The Bruce Springsteen, that live box set, that actually came out on 8-track. That was in 85.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. And there was also a Fleetwood Mac album, like a greatest hits. That might have come out in 86. That was on 8-track. All right, it just kind of disappeared. And a lot of people have no clue what it is. I mean, even when they put out 2XL for the second time in the 90s, they put it out on cassette. And...
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. They kind of streamlined it and used cassette. But there was a lot more... On cassette, there was a lot more bleed-through than there was on 8-track. You did get a little bit of bleed-through because it's the same piece of tape. It's just a different track on the tape or section on the tape or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just loved... I loved 8-tracks. My grandfather had a friend who had an 8-track tape recorder, which was like an exotic thing back in the 70s.
I didn't know they existed.
Yeah, yeah. And they, I actually had one. I found one in the 90s and I tried to make my own 8-tracks, but it didn't. The blank 8-tracks that I found were terrible. They're so bad. And they, a lot of times 8-tracks will just break. You know, when you put them in, they break right away. And they're easy to fix. You can go online and find places where it'll show you how to fix them. But
so, my dad, before I was born, he was in the Air Force and he did electronic repair. And then, at night he was the DJ for the base, in Greenland. So when he came home from Greenland, he had this giant rack stereo.
Nice.
I mean, this is like, yeah, it was like every part of it weighed like 50 pounds, you know, like it was like all solid, you know, silver, everything was silver and just super heavy. And it had an 8-track player. And the only 8-track I had as a kid was, Star Wars that I think my mom, you know, must've got for me like at a garage sale or something, but we normally didn't listen, you know, to 8-tracks because he had a good record player. Right. So he had a lot of albums and stuff. But when, this was like 81, maybe 81, 82, my parents bought this van and it was red on the outside, and this will date it. The entire interior was shag carpet. I mean, the sides, the roof, everything was all, the whole thing was this tan carpet. I remember like just laying on the floor, rolling around, yes. You know, and just be like, oh, it feels so good. But it had an 8-track player in it. And when we bought it, I mean, it was obviously used. When we bought it, it had an 8-track in it. Mm. Like they left the 8-track in it. And so I have over the year, like I think probably maybe back when Napster was big, I recreated this album because I had to go find the album and then find all the tracks and then go download each song, you know. But I very specifically remember this album, and it was called Dumb Ditties. and it's one of those KTEL compilation things, you know. And I'm sitting here looking at the track list right now. But it has songs. Of course, it had like Monster Mash, My Ding-a-ling, On Top of Spaghetti. There was some like more obscure things on here, like the Martian Hop, which, you know, now, by the way, there is no way. I don't have enough money to get my kids to listen to 24 songs on Dumb Ditties. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, two songs in, they would literally find whatever's in the house and just gouge their eardrums out. They're not putting up with this. You know, I'm looking on here, Little Arrows, The Ballad of Irving. God. The thing about it is that when you only have one 8-track, you get to know that 8-track pretty well.
Yes, you do.
I mean, we would go on road trips. You know, my grandpa lived like 4 hours away, and it would just be go all the way around. And like to this day, like my wife and my daughter's birthdays are 2 days apart. I get them screwed up every year. I'm like, which one's first? Is it my wife, my daughter? But I'm telling you what, you put on Here Come the Trash, Here Come the Trash. Like, I know every word to it. Like, that stuff just got burned into your brain as a kid, you know? I don't know. Those Dumb Ditties. And then we had another one that was called Goofy Gold.
Yes.
But it wasn't on 8-track. We had it on vinyl. And then to get it in the car, my mom had taped it off on a cassette, you know? It was like those two. And that's what we had. We just like, Here Come the Judge. I remember I heard that song a million times. It's ridiculous.
I was pretty sure there was a commercial for Goofy Gold on TV, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And I found my mom still has the vinyl. And so I cleaned it up and I did a whole MP3 transfer of that one. Nice. But the Dumb Ditties, and you know, I am, this is ridiculous. Let me just start this story by saying this. Years ago, okay, my dad, 1 year for Christmas, and this has probably been, I don't know, 10 or maybe even 15 years ago, my dad was so excited to give me something for Christmas. He's like, you've been talking about this. I wanted, you know, oh, you're going to be so excited, all this. And Christmas Day, I opened it, and it was a record player, but it also had MP3 or a USB, so you could hook it to your computer to dub records over, you know. And he said, I know you've been talking about listening to records and all this stuff and wanting to get records. And I'm like, yeah. And then when he left, my wife was like, she goes, I don't remember you saying anything. I'm like, I don't think I did. I don't remember saying anything about wanting to listen to records. I'm sure I must have, you know, but maybe like in passing, you know. So then I had to start buying records because he got me the record player, and then the record player broke. So then I had all these records and no record player. So then I had to buy my own record player. I was like, now I've bought all this stuff. But I only go for, when I go to thrift stores or wherever, I only look for stuff from the 70s and the 80s, that's not available on CD, like stuff that never came out. Mm. And a lot of it is like kids stuff, you know? So I have a huge collection of Sesame Street and Mickey Mouse stuff and Strawberry Shortcake. I literally have the record collection of like a guy that drives a molester van. Oh, like it's just a like people go, "Hey, let me look at your records." And I'm like, "I got the new Strawberry Shortcake." And I look like a maniac, you know, but yeah, it's funny thinking back now, like you were talking about the 8-tracks and so did you ever transfer 8-tracks to other things? Like, I mean, that was like a whole thing for us was, you know, you had to, when you had the record, you had to make it into a cassette or, you know, later on, you got the MP3 and you would make it into a CD so you could listen to it in your car or what, you know, it's like we were always transferring music from one format to another.
Yeah. I didn't do that until I think I was 12 or 13 when I finally got it was a stereo system. We got it at Sears and it was a dual cassette. Record player and 8-track tape player in one unit, and then I was able to transfer it. Otherwise, I would just take my little brick Radio Shack tape recorder with the microphone on the front there and just record it from there. But
the black one,
yeah.
I think I've lost it over the years, but I had my neighbor. The first cassette recorder I had was one of those. And my neighbor had one, and he bought Jay Giles Band, whatever the big one was that had Centerfold.
And
all those songs on it, you know. And so we literally took his cassette player and laid it like in his driveway and then put mine on top of it. But reverse, so like the microphone was over the speaker, the speaker's over the microphone, and it hit. So even at the age of 8, I'm figuring out how to pirate things, right?
And a bird in the beast.
Right, yeah, exactly. And so, you know, he hit play and I hit record and we put them on there. But of course, we didn't think like you would also get every car that drove by in the street. So I had this really bad recording you know, Centerfold and whatever, and then, you know, get out of the road, like, people yelling in the background.
See, I would love to listen to that if I had something like that now. I would, you know, when I was a kid, and we had the black, you know, tape recorder, and when I was a kid, one of the guys on the block on my street, Harley, I don't remember what we said, but we recorded. I'm sure the date we had some things, and we put it in an old Maxwell House when they had the tin cans,
mm-hmm.
and a little plastic lid, and we made a time capsule and we buried it. I know exactly where it is at my old my childhood house, and I go in that neighborhood a lot. I run over that way and I'll ride my bike over that way. And I stopped and talked to my old neighbor who still lives there across the street and a couple of years ago, and which was great to see them. And they were super nice to me. You know, I know when I was younger, I was a little turd, you know.
I think we all were to a certain extent.
Probably, and so when I rode my bike past their house, and I may have told the story earlier, but I was kind of nervous to stop. I thought, one, they're not going to remember me, or two, they're going to be like, "Oh God, I hated that kid." So I didn't stop by the house, and then I rode down the end of the street, and I was like, "Whatever, what do I got to lose?" And so I stopped, and I ended up staying there for like 40 minutes. But I had told them about that, so and they're like, "Oh, we'll have to, you know, tell the new owners that." I'm curious if they did, if they found anything. I'm sure it's just all disintegrated. I mean, there's a cassette tape, and this has got to be from, gosh, probably 85 maybe.
84. Wow, that's awesome.
But I would love to be able to just dig that thing up and see what, you know, so if there's anything left.
You were talking about those old tapes. I have tons of old cassette tapes that I recorded, like things off the radio or things of me doing little skits, mostly by myself because I was a sad child. I didn't have any friends to record jokes with, you know. But I've turned these into MP3s, and they're just one long track, like they're 45 minutes, however long the side was, and I have them on my phone, so. I have them in a separate playlist so they don't normally come up, but if I'm doing all random every now and then in the car, one of them will come up. And so I haven't even listened to all of them yet because I just recorded them in and, you know, So I've been going through. So this was like a week or two ago. I'm in the car and some song starts playing and then it switched to another song and then another song. And I realized this was some sort of medley that they must have played on the radio. And so every song is like just, you know, 2 or 3 seconds, maybe 5 seconds. Huh. And it got to the end and it said, that was the top 83 songs of 1983. Oh, and I was awesome. Like, oh, it's really cool, you know? And then the last song was Every Breath You Take, and they played the whole song. And I was like, oh, that's cool, that you know? Cool. And so I'm just driving in the car with, you know, my wife and the kids. And then it stops, and it starts playing the end of Juice Newton's Queen of Hearts, which is a record that I had, right? And it's fading out. And then I hear this little tiny squeaky voice.
I'm
going to
tell you a little story here during loading time.
I'm like, and that was Juice Newton with the Queen of Hearts. That was the real number one song. And then I like start doing this commercial of like, I don't even know what it's for. Like, I apparently didn't make good commercials.
Woo! That was Juice Newton with the Queen of Hearts. Coming up soon, a Jay Giles Band concert. We'll have information soon, and it's now 11:45, and here's a word from our sponsor. You've probably heard of the old XLR-38. You know the one that took gas with 4 plungers? We've made a new one. It only winds up. It uses 2 plungers. Its arms extend, and it reaches those hard-to-reach places for you do-it-yourselvers. It drills, clamps, tightens bolts, tightens screws, it even hammers. 2 C cell batteries not included. The XLR-38 economical size. Only $19.99 in stores near you.
And I'm just going on and on, and then like it starts playing Sticks, Too Much Time on My Hands, and then it stops, and I'm like just singing the chorus and I know, and my kids are like, what was wrong with you? And I'm like tearing up. I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard, you know? And there's a part of Culture Club, and my dad used to always do this, where do you really want to hurt me would come on, and he would go, do you really want to hurt me? And my dad would go, yep. and then it's just me doing that, you know, and it's so funny that, like I have no recollection of doing that at all, you know, I really feel bad for kids today that are creating all this stuff digitally that won't be around when they're adults. You know, the stuff that they've uploaded to YouTube, the stuff that's on their phone, whatever, they're not going to have that. So I'm not saying that me, you know, making fake commercials, it needs to be in the Library of Congress or anything, you know what I'm saying? But it is cool to hear those things from your child.
It is, yeah.
Sean, if I make it to Buffalo, we're going to go dig that tape up.
All right. You go talk to him at the front door.
I'm in.
Tell him a story, and that'll give me time to go over there. With a little shovel, dig it up, plant a tree, watch it grow, and then get out of there.
The Grim Reapers. We've just got on a big black robe, and I've got a sickle, and you've got a shovel. We're like, we're here to dig.
You know what's funny is, you know, Rob and I we talk all the time off mic, and there's so many things that we have in common that we're just like, man, it's just weird. It's like we're you know, related in some way, and. The 8-track thing, that was my father had a white van that had shag carpet through the whole entire thing. It had an 8-track player. It wasn't a Diddy's, but it was Saturday Night Fever. And that's like you said, that I think that was the only 8-track in there. There might have been a separate Bee Gees 8-track in there as well, but. And it's funny because now it's like, you know, up until a certain age, you gotta buckle up and everything. And I remember being in the van and we'd try to stand while my father was driving and see who would fall first, you know, and it was all shagged and it had like the little vent window on top and you could crank it up, you know, and.
We didn't have one of those.
You're allowed to do it while you're moving. I don't crank it up while you're moving. It's going to blow it off. You know, so yeah, it was, that's just funny that we had the same thing, but we had an 8-track player actually in the house too. We had one of those like cabinet stereos.
Yeah.
So you'd lift it up.
Oh, the top yeah.
And it had
yeah.
a, it had a record player and it had a little thing. I think so you could play 45s. It looked like a revolver clip that would
mm-hmm.
snap on the spindle. There. So you played a
yeah.
45.
Oh yeah. yeah.
You could yeah. stack
so
them
I had
up, right?
That, and they had the 8-track player and then just the stereo. And I can feel those knobs, you know, just I can imagine them or the click that they would make when you would turn it on.
Yep.
Just, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Those, the tubes like warming up like you could, yeah. It was.
Yeah,
just
and the speaker was in the front that, and it had like a brown clothy kind of speaker cover and the cabinet. Mm-hmm. I want one of those so bad, and my neighbor was actually getting rid of one. I don't know, giving it away or cheap. I have nowhere to put it, and I was like, man, I want that thing so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. Just like a couple years ago before I moved here, we're walking down the street. They would have fireworks at this park down the road, and we're walking, and this house was throwing out a perfect, like, I think it was about a 17, or not a 17, like a 15-inch or a 13-inch TV, like, tube mm. TV that was yeah. on a little cart, you know, so they obviously had it in their kitchen.
Oh yeah.
And I'm looking at this thing as I'm walking by, and it's like six houses down, and I'm like, oh my God, I want that thing in my house. You don't need that. And I got down to the park, and I could not stop thinking about it, and I said, I could care less about the fireworks, and I'm like, if that thing is there, I'm taking it. And sure enough, I mean, because you had people coming from all over, parking, and yeah. walking down, there's someone just mm-hmm. threw it in their car. Now, I'm to this day, I'm so bummed because I have the Atari that Rob had sent me. Like that would be hooked up to that thing right
yep.
now.
Yeah,
so, yeah, just a bummer, man.
You know, I went to a garage sale a year or two ago, and I found a small, like a 13-inch tube TV, and the whole plastic casing is clear.
Really?
So you could see the electronics and stuff. I'd never seen anything like that.
Wow.
And I told my wife, I was like, that's unique. You know, I got to get that. And so I went to buy it, and the guy goes, you know where that came from, right? And I said, no. And he said, it came from a prison. And he said, so when prisoners buy electronics, you know, they have to be clear so that they can't hide anything inside it, you know? And so I was like, well, that is crazy. So I bought this. It's in my garage right now. And so I came home and I start cleaning it. And on the back, there's a guy's name and his inmate number.
Holy
like engraved into it. And so I was going to write this big blog post, like, you know, about like, oh, I found this thing or whatever. And I looked him up. He's in there for like attempted murder. And I was like, I don't want him to know I've got his TV.
No.
Like they might have taken it away for something. And then they're going to, you know, so I don't know. But I did all this, you know, looked up all these things because they sell like see-through electric razors and,
wow.
and you know, all these things that, yeah. And of course, now they have, see through their flat screen, you know, so they've replaced it. So that's probably why they phased it out. And also, I learned that none of them have speakers because they don't want them sitting in their cell. So they all have headphone jacks.
Oh.
So they could sit there and watch TVs. But so, Sean, I knew we were talking about Toys R Us, and I remembered this story from over 10 years ago, and it has stuck with me all this time. And so I went and looked this story up. I don't know if this is scary or if it's the greatest story I've ever read, but this is a news story that happened in North Carolina in 2005. And the headline says a prisoner who escaped in June was arrested in January. So this guy was on the run for 6 months. And real quick, the article says a prisoner who escaped in June was recaptured this week after surviving for months by hiding in a vacant electronics store eating stolen baby food. Authorities said Jeffrey Allen Manchester lived in a 4x10-foot closet, played hoops with a mini basketball net, and watched Spider-Man 2 on a DVD player. He had also routed water from the adjacent Toys R Us and had installed a smoke detector. So this guy was living in the vacant space between a Toys R Us and this other building. And the way that they caught him was, it said that the police responded to a report of a early morning break-in at the toy store. And so what had happened was he was sneaking into the toy store in the middle of the night to like get toys or DVDs and things to watch and then taking them back to his little hidey hole. And he set off the motion detectors. And then when the doors hadn't been open, they figured, oh, somebody still had to be inside, and he had built this wall of merchandise or whatever. So I can't decide if this is terrifying, like the next time I go to a Toys R Us, to think that there could be a guy living in the wall. But also, the kid in me thinks, I'm thinking, like, what a great life. Like, he just lived in this thing and watched movies. I'm sure he slept during the day when customer, he was probably like, oh, those kids are playing football again in the aisle. And then, you know, and then at night he just had access. Like, he was the only guy in this Toys R Us. He could go out and do anything. And I don't know, man, just being the only person inside a toy store like that, just.
But my question is,
it kind of seems cool.
Why just baby food? I mean, do you ever look at the stuff, the impulse purchase items that are at the register? I mean, you've got, like, you know, 5-foot gummy snakes. You've got Swedish fish. You've got
don't they have those giant jawbreaker suckers?
Yeah, everything. Like the big everything. I mean, I could see maybe some baby food to get some nutrition in you, but not every meal. You got to. Yeah. I mean, that's where I would get busted because they'd be like, "All right, look, who took the big league chew? Who took all the big league chew?"
You know what? I was thinking you could build your own drive-in, like get one of those big Barbie cars. And then you put a TV on the wall, and you can just sit in there and watch movies, you know. And
well, they sold those like car beds, you know, that were shaped.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So you go in.
Yeah. So there you go. You know, you just kind of be short sheet. Like,
think about it. Think of the employees that, you know, they probably just like not even paying attention that the display model bed is gone.
Yeah.
You know? Or, oh, it must be discontinued. They're not paying attention. You got a bike. No. This guy's living in a little 4-foot by 6-foot little area, or somebody's got a bike in there, but it's like a miniature bike, a big wheel. Yeah.
But yeah, like at night, he could come out, like he could ride the bikes around the aisles and, you know, play with everything. And then, you know, when the sun's coming up, it's like, oh, got to put everything back on the shelf, you know, and then right at the end, gets in his little hole and moves.
How
the
is
stuff
he?
Get,
how
back
is he getting into it back and forth? Was there a hole in the wall or something?
Yeah, yeah. There's like a hole, and then he had like put boxes against this hole. Jeez. And now I don't know. And then I was thinking, I mean, I don't know, but if he could sneak out during the day, then he could just walk out the front door of the store, you know, and then leave, and then come back, and then
what was he wanted know, for? Kinda, did it say, or what he was in jail for?
I don't know. Let me see if it's still here. Yes, from breaking into toy stores. No. no, it just says a prisoner who escaped. I don't know.
I mean, it seems like he...
But maybe I have his TV. maybe that's what started it all.
Yeah, possibly.
Ferg, you said your Toys R Us is not closing, and Sean, the one that's near you is not closing.
Correct, it's the Babies R Us that's going to be closing.
So yeah, there's a much nicer Toys R Us that's newer, that's closer to me, and we don't even go that often. But if we did, that's the one we would go to. Yeah. But I feel like I want to go to that old one more time and just walk around. And, you know, we joked about it. I came out one day, I started calling it Toys Were Us, but, you know, because there's like the aisles would be bare, you know, there would just not anything there. And, but I don't know, I too many times in my life, and I'm sure you guys have done the same thing where, you know, like you show up to the mall one day and it's closed and you're like, man, if I could just go there one more time, you know, just go see it. So, I'm not gonna lie. My plan is to go there and then move into the wall and then just live there as long as I can on the land.
I hope you have an internet connection. Still podcasting.
Oh, that's true. God, that's so, they find a hot spot. I'm like Toy Bandit 1. Yeah.
Well, that was good stuff, guys. Definitely a good time. Ferg,
yeah.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking me to do it. I love talking to you guys. It's a lot of fun.
And for anybody that's living between a Toys R Us or maybe under a rock, where can people find you? And just briefly give us a little description of your podcast, too.
Okay. I do the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast. It's kind of right there in the title. One game each episode every couple weeks, and I try to go as deep as I can. And all the links to find the show are at 2600gamebygamepodcast.blogspot.com. I'm on Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff.
Sweet. And we'll have links to that in the show notes as well.
Thank you.
But yeah, man, thanks for joining us. It was definitely a good time. We got to get you on again before the end of 2018.
Okay, definitely.
We'll have some other time. And Rob, any plans to dust off the old podcast other than the throwback reviews?
Well, I got a couple more months of school left, so as soon as I can get that knocked out, then you never know what late spring, early summer might have in store.
Yeah. Excellent.
Well, you're still writing. People can check out RobO'Hara.com, correct?
Sure. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And hear some of your read some of your writings there, some of your stories, and I got a whole bunch of other stuff going on. Running podcast, Horrified Chicken podcast. You know what?
Oh my god, you guys are hilarious.
I love it. I love it.
Thanks. Yeah, you so know what? Good. We've gotten emails over the years, and we don't read them over the air, but I did get one once. And I said I would never say anything about it, but it was someone had basically complained that I talked about my wife too much on this show. And
what?
I thought, yeah, I got an email. I was like, Sean talks about his wife too much. And I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. I didn't think I did. Plus, it's my wife. I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah.
In a relationship, you talk about your wife, you know. So to whoever sent that email, I don't remember anymore. We got a podcast if you want to hear it even more. So you can check out the Horrified Chicken podcast. And really, it's just a lighthearted review of horror movies. My wife loves horror movies, always has. I don't, never did. So we sit and we watch a horror movie, and then we try to, within 20 minutes, sit down with the mics and talk about the movie. We kind of just go through it, but we get sidetracked a lot. And I'll be honest, that's the most fun for myself.
Yeah.
And I think for her as well, is it's just getting sidetracked, and whether it's goofing on each other or just life in general. I mean, that's how my wife and I are. You know, we have a good time, and so it's a lot of fun. So we're trying to do those weekly if we can, but you can go to horrifiedchicken.com. But I'll have links to my stuff. I have kind of like a catch-all feed too, so you can check that out. But other than that, guys, that's going to wrap this up. Hopefully this is number one of many for Throwback Reviews in 2018.
Find that popular new toy? If it's hot, then KB's got it. And you'll find a big selection of the hottest toy hits every day at all of our convenient locations.
All the latest toys to choose from. Hot, we got a KB!
Yes.